Thank you for bringing us together. You said we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves together, much the more so as we see the day approaching. Indeed, that day is upon us. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Particularly, I pray for a fresh unction and anointing from the Holy Spirit, so that I would speak as I should indeed as an oracle of God. And I pray the same unction and anointing be put on the ears and the hearts of all that will hear me, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow, Father, freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine, causing our wills to be more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as we speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great measure to follow these words wherever they are released and heard in all the earth. Indeed, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that indeed they will become doers of the things which they hear and are hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that indeed I will do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me and said, amen.
I didn't say this last time, but I've mentioned it before over the years, you know, and you need to understand this, that there are certain levels of demons God doesn't allow to attack you. Because if they attack you, they'll finish you. That's just a simple fact. I don't know, many Christians don't realize that. You know, that's why he will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. But that's why he wants us to grow. As you grow, then higher levels can come against you, but you have the equipment to overcome them. And before this whole shooting match is all over, this dispensation, God has to release the highest demons. Satan and, you know, the Bible talks about wicked spirits in heavenly places. They have to be allowed to attack us. Otherwise, there's no legal case against them. And that's why God is in a hurry to get us grown up. Because if we don't grow up, he can't allow them. And if he doesn't allow them, the age cannot close. You understand these things. You know, I thank God gave me this perspective years ago. You know, I began to understand things, you know. When I began to walk in life scriptures and prayer, all hell broke loose. I said, God, what's all this? He said, Shabu, you say you wanted to grow. I said, yes, sir. He said, huh? He said, it comes as part of the package. He said, but don't worry, you overcome. And I did. I still am. You know, so I'm not afraid of the devil anymore. I used to be, but I'm not afraid of the devil. You know, so you don't be afraid of the devil. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God is not an irresponsible creator. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. He will put enough in you to be able to overcome whatever he allows to come against you. So elders are partakers of the sufferings, and then as a consequence of that, they're also partakers of the glory. And we brought out this fact, very, very important, that the glory of which we speak is not only a glory of the life to come. There is a glory in this life. I'm going to talk about that in my main message today. You know, there is a glory that is available to be inherited in this lifetime. There is a glory that is available to be inherited in this lifetime. Yeah, and we must inherit it, manifest it, or the age cannot close. May God help us get that into our understanding. Like the Lord Jesus would often say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is currently saying to the church. You know, no glory, no rapture. It's the man-child that manifests the glory that is caught up. The one that is, that the Bible says, he has a rod of iron and he overcomes the, you know, Satan, and he overcomes the nation, he rules the nations with the rod of iron. That's not going to happen in the millennium, it's going to happen now. Now, it's also going to happen in the millennium, but it is what we do now that lays the foundation for what's going to happen in the millennium. Because in the millennium, there are not going to be any enemies to rule over. they will all be the devil, and he'll be bound in the bottomless pit. So it's the binding in the bottomless pit that now makes us be able to rule over the whole earth. What we do now is the preparation for that. May God have mercy on us to understand it. So we're partakers. That's why growth is important. And the Apostle Paul tells us, you know, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul says, you be no more children. That's the will of God. That we be no more. Now we start as children, nothing wrong with that. But we don't stay as children. Be no more, but you know, no more children tossed about with every wind of doctrine. You know, grow up into Him in all things. Then God feels relaxed, and then the devil comes to him and says, "Have you considered my servants?" Remember, that's what he told. I won't mention your name. It was Pastor Emmanuel of Rukob Isabel. Have you considered my servant Boyg? Have you considered my servant Olubi? Have you considered my servant Wale? At least you're okay. Amen. And when they consider you, they come against you. That's okay. That's okay. It's part of the package. I pray your faith won't fail. And you will overcome him. Okay, so we got that. Now let's go back to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we continue this morning in verse 2. So verse 2 says, feed the flock of God. Oh, you didn't say it the way I said it. Thank you. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but what? Willingly. Now, this next part of the verse, I would to God that all the pastors around these days would read this. And not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Give this to me in the New International. No, don't jump ahead of me. Walk in pace with me. Thank you. Yes. Not greedy for money. This ministry thing is not a money-making thing. Now, you will be blessed. And God will, watch this, God will give you money. You don't have to try and make it. It's God who will give it to you. And He give it to you without, you know, upbraideth not, freely and willingly. So you don't have to try and think up any gimmicks and schemes to make money. In fact, the money God will give you far outweigh anything you can get through your gimmicks and schemes. What do you know about money? The God who says, the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to me. The gold is mine, the silver is mine. You know nothing about money compared to God. And when God wants to bless you, it all, look at Joseph. Overnight, God can take you from point A today to point B tomorrow, where you'll be a billionaire. It's just one idea. The right people, right place, right time. So chill. Don't be greedy. And God wants to do it. Because He loves you. He's our Father. He loves His children. Once you have the best, and He needs to give you the resources to do the work. So don't be greedy. So He says, be shepherds. Now let's quickly go through this. How do you shepherd the flock of God? You feed them, you know, with knowledge and understanding. I remember this scripture when I was a young, when God had just called me to the ministry. You know, this was back in 1980. I was still in England then, before I came back to Nigeria. And this is one of the scriptures God gave me, you know, and told me I should teach God's word, you know, to His people. And another one is in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. It is indelibly written in my heart, because it was spoken to me as a young boy, was 21 years old. It says, I will give you pastors. I didn't hear you. What's wrong with you this morning? According to my heart. Stop. It means that there are some pastors that are not according to His heart. Hello. In fact, the title pastor has been so bastardized today. Do you know, that if you travel abroad and you put the name pastor on your passport with the Nigerian passport, usually they'll pull you aside. Not all the time, they pull you aside. They may ask, they want to inquire more because you have so many of these so-called pastors. It's better to use a professional title like doctor or something. They don't disturb me. It's a pastor. So which pastor? It's been bastardized because of the greed and the covetousness and all the rubbish that we hear, But that's not the will of God. So they're pastors according to God's heart. Amen? Which shall feed you? I didn't hear you. With what? And what? So if you're listening to a pastor and he's not feeding you with knowledge and understanding, he's not according to God's heart. Don't just go to church for hype and get excited and shout. Ask yourself, what did the man say? What did I learn from what he said? What did the man say? He fed you with what? Knowledge and understanding. So, a good pastor or a good elder, which everybody should aspire to. We used to think this is special. God calls some people is a lie. I discovered it. He says, if any man desire the office of anybody, he desires a good work, then he just tells you the conditions. Fulfill the conditions and God will call you to be a bishop. That's really as simple as that. Calling comes with growth. I've said this many times. I wrote a book. We're going to reproduce the books soon by the grace of God. The gifts, plural, and the calling. Calling is singular. We all have the same calling. We have different gifts, but one calling. The calling is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Now, as you grow into the image of Jesus, God will give you different gifts along the way. Amen? To be able to use you to serve. Are you listening to me? If you grow and you grow properly, you become like Jesus, you'll be a pastor, you'll be a prophet, you'll be an apostle, you'll be everything. Stop worrying about titles. Are you listening to me? You worry about growth. And then with the growth, the different anointings will come. I am a living example. They told me I wasn't a pastor. I didn't believe that. Yeah, somebody said, I will be a pastor, a teacher. So who said? And then God began to teach me this thing. I just ignored all of that. I just kept growing. And as I grew, I taught, I did teaching, then I did pastoral work, then after a while I started operating the prophetic ministry, It had nothing to do with, it's if you grow, you will get those anointings. Why? Because all those anointings are in Jesus. So if you grow into Him in all things, automatically, when the right time comes, you can get all of it at the same time because it comes with growth. Even the Apostle Paul. Remember, Paul got born again, then he preached, he did evangelistic work, and then he was in the church in Antioch, thank you. He was a pastor. They were just teaching people and all of that. And a certain, and then after a while, he became a pastor and a teacher. Then after some time, he began to operate in a prophetic. And the Bible says, and in the church in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. He wasn't an apostle yet. Such as Barnabas and Saul. Then the prophetic word came and said, separate them unto me at the work of Jesus. Then later on in Acts 14:14, says, and the apostles. See, it's a pattern. Jesus is the pattern son, but Paul is the pattern disciple. It's a pattern. So you follow that pattern. All right? Okay. So, be a good shepherd. Be a good elder. And feed the people with knowledge and understanding. I don't want to digress. Many, many, many so-called shepherds are only interested in money. They're only interested in the wool. You know, you see this in Ezekiel 34. I'm not going to turn there. You know, and Paul says, woe to the shepherds who feed themselves and they don't feed the flock. You know, and it's very common today. You find them feeding themselves, just all kinds of gimmicks to make money. But you want to avoid that. So feed the flock of God, hallelujah, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not greedy for money, but of a willing mind. You know, so your motive must be pure. One of the things today is that many times the motive for ministry today is not pure. When we started, it was pure. Many of our young men then, because there was nobody, we had nothing to see. So people weren't going to do it for money. We're going because God called us. For example, like me, to the glory of God, I came from England. I could have stayed in England or gone on to America. It wasn't money. It was because I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. So the motive was pure. But as the years progressed and some of us, God gave some of us money and gave us success, the ones that are coming behind us, they don't see the money, so they start coming for the money. Which is wrong. Okay. Now, there's a word here I want to just... the Holy Spirit just blew it up to me right now. It's not even in my notes. It's the word oversight. The word oversight means looking over. You know, if you fly in a helicopter, I like to use a helicopter because it's slower than a plane. Plane is very fast, but if you're in a helicopter, it's a little bit slow, so you can look down, and you can be seeing everything. Spiritually, that's what a good shepherd does. He takes oversight because he prays in the spirit. So when he prays in the spirit, God gives him a heavenly perspective of what is going on in the life of the saints. It's called oversight. So he can oversee. He's seeing what they're doing from above. And then he can minister to them. And really that is done through the ministry of intercession and prayer. A true shepherd has to be a praying man. You pray to get them born again. Then you also pray that Christ be formed in them. For example, a service like this, I need to pray maybe about 3, 4, 5 hours for a service like this to be successful. I'm doing that for years. I can't else, you know, walk into the service. You know, I wouldn't know what to do. But once I pray in the spirit, I get my message. Even the songs we're going to sing sometimes, I get it. You know, what's going to happen. I mean, I don't see everybody's individual life in detail. No, I don't need to. But because I pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit takes oversight. You know, some people, if you don't pray, they won't come to church. Hello? If it just rains a little bit, I'm tired, I can't go to church. You know, or something happened to the tire of my car. You know? So God, the Holy Spirit, and the angels will go and make sure all those kind of things will happen. So the guy can't come. It's called oversight. That's true spiritual oversight. You take oversight. You know. That's why Jesus could say, you know, of all of them, I didn't lose any of them except the son of perdition. And he told Peter, he said, you know, your faith will not fail. He said, because I've prayed for you. Oversight. Oversight. So oversight is very, very important. It's by the Spirit. You can't do oversight in the flesh. True spiritual oversight can't be done in the flesh. Many times you will even, the Holy Spirit would have anticipated people's problems before they even come to you. I'm sure many of you don't have to put your hands up, will bear witness to what I'm about to say now. You come to church on a day like this and you have some questions and problems in your life. I don't know what your problem is. And then you just come and I start teaching and preaching and it addresses the exact problem and helps you to overcome it. How many times has that happened? It's oversight. Yeah, I don't know your problem. Guess what? I don't even want to know. Don't overcharge my battery. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what? I've learned over the years and I'm still learning. I'm not God. I'm only God's messenger. You see, I'm your spiritual father, yes, but God is your father. So it's God who will bear your problem, not me. You understand? My own job is to go to God, pray so that I can be a channel through which God can solve your problem. If I was to know the problem of every single one of you, I won't sleep. Not the will of God. See, when you try and pastor by the flesh, it will wear you out. Many pastors spend hours counseling people individually. If you do your job of oversight properly, the Holy Spirit will give them counsel when they come to church. By the time you finish the message, all the counsel, everything they need is solved. The difference between, you know, in the natural, you know, imagine, you know, having a lot of, like the banks. Let me use the banks for example. See how the banks balance their books on a daily basis. Now everybody has an alert, and you have, you know, a mobile app or online banking and all of that. It's all computerized now. The bankers, of course, they look at it, but you know, it's a computer that does the work. All they just, we're just feeding the information. The computer does all the calculation and everything. Imagine all of that being done by hand. They will die. You can't do it. Can't be done. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. Don't try and do it by hand. Do it by the Spirit. No, it's not. Now, occasionally, we do counsel people where God will bring somebody to you. You know, and sometimes what you say is what's going to trigger that. And then they now come, and then the answer is there. So, oversight. Everyone say oversight. Hallelujah. You know, and do it not for the wrong impure motive of money, but do it of a ready mind because you want to bless the people so that they can grow. You know, the faster you grow, the less my job is. So I can go and play golf. Praise the Lord. Amen. I can enjoy on holiday. Praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody in church now grows and they are mature spiritually. Wow, I go a 6-month holiday. Just chill, man. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? Every pastor should want his people to outgrow him. Grow. You know, you two know the word as best as I can. Preach it like I can. Wow, man, life is going to be nice. Verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. I like this. This is very important. Let me say it in modern English. You know, I'm sure some of the modern translations, I don't read this in any translation, I'm just saying it by the Spirit. But if I turn to translations, you'll see it, I'm sure. It'll be similar to this. Don't be domineering. Be an example. Don't be domineering. Just be like Jesus. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he had his guys, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all those boys, you know, and then he had the 70 and all of that. He was just an example to them. Of course, he gave leadership. He had authority. He spoke to them. He gave them commands of things that they had to do. But the Lord was such a good leader. He wasn't domineering. He was so self-effacing that they had to get Judas to be able to point out who he was amongst them. Judas was the leader. He slept with them, he talked with them, he laughed with them, he ate with them. Very approachable. Not like our guys today. Not being lords over God's heritage. The sheep aren't yours. They're God's. You're just an under shepherd. Just an oversight. You know? So stop behaving as if you are their lord. You're not their lord. You are their brother. Senior brother, yes, but they're brother. Amen. And what you want to do is show them an example of how they can, of your life, so that they can copy it. That's it. Not to become a lord, you know, everybody's afraid of you, nobody can approach you. They tried that thing with Jesus, he discouraged it. They wanted to bring the children. And you know, God doesn't have time for little children. You know, Bible says Jesus was so displeased. He said, let the children come to me. You know, they thought they were impressing him by being bodyguards. God, you can come and disturb God with this. Jesus said, you know, laid hands on them, you know. So that's that, you know, God has to help us to have the Spirit of Christ. When I say Spirit of Christ now, I'm talking about the attitude. He's the kind of person he was. Jesus was a powerful leader, yet a very simple person. Meek and lowly in heart. He was a powerful leader. And he could be hard, like Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah, there's times for that. But you know why Peter was relaxed? He knows that this man loves him. He knows him. So even when he called him the devil, he didn't get angry and go away. Now, he didn't call Peter the devil. He just said, Peter, the devil is operating through you now. Now, stop that nonsense. And he did. Are you listening to me? So in the same way, even me as a pastor, sometimes I have to shout on you. Praise the Lord. You know, and be something. But, you know, I don't shout on you all the time. I'll be wrong. I don't have to joke, play, you know, that's what it is all about. Fellowship. You know, there's a time for leadership. There's a time to be, you know, firm. But you got to, I don't know, I don't know how else to say it. Just be like Jesus. That thing, I don't think, you know, it's caught, it can't be taught. It's a spirit you catch. You know, the more I grow spiritually by the grace of God, the more I understand how the kind of person God is. God's easy. He's all right. Praise the Lord. You know, so we as leaders need to be like that. Not lords over God's heritage. Not domineering and you take advantage of them and all of that. You know, because God put them under you, yes. You have authority over them, yes. But don't exploit them. You want to help them. You want to teach them. You want to be an example to them. You know, when it's necessary, you discipline them. But even the discipline is done in love. So they know the reason why you did what you did. Are you listening to me? So it's very important. Today, many of our so-called pastors are lords over God's people. You even see people, they're crouching down to them. Have you seen it before? Ah, is in this group of pastors, you just walk up to me and talk to me anyhow. You have no respect for me. in other places, hey, you can't even come near me. You don't know who I am. Senior pastor, bishop. You can't even come near me. And if you come to my office, for example, you will be kneeling down. Oh, yeah. How can you enter my office and stand up? Oh, I have seen horrible things. You see the people that are so that the man of God can give them anointing. You know, one person told me this some years ago. I won't mention names. I never mention names, you know, in this kind of thing. You know, and he was in an office of a man of God, of a pastor. You know, he's in that particular denomination. You know, and he's my personal friend. We're friends. We grew up together as children, and then you know we got born again and all of that. And he's still a pastor there up till today. You know, he said, Olubi, I saw something. He said, it grieved my spirit. I said, what was it? He said, they were kneeling down. And they had a hand like this.
See, they were begging the man of God. And he said, what pained me the most was that the man didn't tell them to stand up. He was enjoying it. They're so afraid. And so, I know we should reverence. Of course, you respect your pastor. No, don't. I'm not throwing that away. But that's too much. Even Jesus didn't do that. Who are you? Who are you? Take it easy. I got news for you. The owner of the church is coming.
They don't know anything.
The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, not yours. He's his own temple, it's not yours. The people are not yours, they are his. And he's going to come for them. And that's why he's going to come with swift judgment. Pastor Dio, you read that on Tuesday when we were praying. You know, against the adulterers and the false wearers and all. Those people just dominating God's people anyhow. You know, oppressing them. You know, exploiting them. And you know, the silly people themselves, God forgive me. You know, they don't want to learn. They don't want to grow. That's why they're so stupid and they can be exploited. The prophets prophesy lies. And my people love to have it so. If you have any sense, you should know what the Bible says. Sure, you should respect men of God. Sure, you should reverence them. Sure, you don't speak disrespectfully to them. You know, but not that extreme of where you can look at, by the grace of God, look at me, I'm here. We're friends with everybody. You can come to our house. After the service, everybody else comes here. We greet you. We gist. We give you high five. That's how it should be. You know why? We're brethren. Not lords over God's heritage. Examples to the flock. Am I talking to anybody here? Good. Next verse. And I am going to stop there for today. And when the chief shepherd shall appear. Ha 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 ha. Oh, glory to God. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, the chief shepherd is about to appear in us. And when he appears in you, he's going to give you a crown of glory. I'm going to preach my main message later on. But let me just say, let me ask two questions. They're rhetorical questions. You know, what does a crown signify? Kingship. Kingship. So what does it mean to have a crown of glory? It means you become a spiritual king that has the glory of God permanently in your life. That was why Nathanael called Jesus the King of Israel. Jesus wasn't Herod. You're not talking about physical king. Hello? You know, Jesus, the Lord Jesus, he was growing. When he was a baby, he was a baby. The Bible says a child, even though he's Lord of all, is different from a servant. Between the ages of 12 and 30, Jesus was a servant. He wasn't a king. He was king, but he hadn't yet entered that position. Do you understand? Moses, he wasn't a king. He was a carpenter. He was his father's servant. Making carpentry, making table, making chair for people. When they come to the office, they say, God, I say, yes, sir. The Bible says he was subject to his parents. But he was growing. A day came when he had grown spiritually sufficiently. Then the heavens opened and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That day he became a king. He got a crown of glory. Hallelujah. That's the day he got it. And so Nathanael, you know, James and Andrew and Peter heard John
And I said, you know, this Lamb of God, I take care of this. And they said, well, what do you guys want? So they came to his house, you know. So the next day they went to get Peter and got a few other guys. And Nathanael was one of them. So when they brought Nathanael, he said, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And then Nathanael said, how did you know me? He said, chill. When you were under the fig tree, I saw you. He said, you are the King of Israel. He saw the spiritual authority. He saw the glory, the king. This was even before Cana of Galilee. He could see the authority. He could see the stature, the spiritual stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, thou art the King of Israel. Spiritually, the same thing with us. When he appears, see, give me 1 John chapter 3. Well, I'm going to close on this theme. 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 1, 2, and possibly 3. Right. Now, behold, I didn't hear you. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the what? Sons of God. Hallelujah. Therefore, this is a very important statement, folks. The world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Stop. Let me explain this. And, simplify. When Jesus was... I'm just going to take a figure out of the hat. You know, just, you know, random. When Jesus was 16 years old, who knew him? Buddy? The only person who probably knew who was his mom, his dad, Joseph, and even that memory had faded, because, you know, there's something about, you know, that's why I pray this prayer, increasing, fresh and increasing revelation. You know, revelation, if you don't keep feeding it, it can die down. It's no longer, it's like light. If you reduce the intensity of the light, it will no longer be clear. You know that happened to Mary? Oh, it happened to her. Now she changed. That's why when Jesus started his ministry, he said, come on, pray for me. Holy Mother. Yeah, he was healing people. The Bible says his mommy and his brother stood outside. They were showing their sense of disapproval. They said, go and call him for me. And one time Jesus said, and they were outside, they could hear him. He said, who is my father? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Amen. Of course she knew he was son of God. I mean, she was the one who gave birth to him. As a virgin, Gabriel appeared to her. You know, she had all of that. But over the years, as the years went by, do you understand? She just saw him as an ordinary boy, which he was. It doth not yet appear. You know, the same thing is true of you. You're a child of God, a son of God, but it doesn't appear what you'll be. So, to your next door neighbor, the guy in the office, you're just another bloke. Just another person, which is true. You're growing. Hallelujah. It doth not yet appear what you really are. But keep the revelation of who you really are in your heart. That's why you need to pray daily for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Most Christians, that light is so dim. They don't really see who they are. They keep seeing themselves the way the world sees them. But, next verse. And every man that hath... No. Verse 2. Good. Beloved, now... Turn to your neighbor, say now. Not when we get to heaven. No, now. 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 I shall know. And he mark upside down. Now. 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 Now are we the sons of God? Turn to your neighbor, say, I'm the son of God now. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. So turn to your neighbor and say, even though I'm a son of God, now.
it hasn't yet appeared on the outside who I really am. Then tell your neighbor, that's why I'm fasting. That's why I'm praying. That's why I'm groaning. That's why I align the life of God into my mortal flesh. Because I want what is inside to appear on the outside. Give the Lord a clap offering. See, a day is coming and it's not very far. Because we're in the season, the blood moons, the signs in the heavens, everything is ready now. When the first of the first fruits will appear. Glory, Pastor G. Man! It will stun the world. They wouldn't have seen anything remotely close to it. Ah! Pastor G. I'm not going to miss this party for anything. Woo! Glory to God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. How many people know here? Put your hand down. How many people think here? How many people believe in here? It's like too deep. They're all levels. You see, most of us don't know. Some of us, thank God for Pastor Libby, but all those funny things he always preaches. What do you too high? I think God born again. God bless. God the Lord. I didn't come to church. I didn't come to church. I had money problem. Move call on for me visa. It wasn't very well. Manifestation sounds so good. That's the mindset of a lot of people, though. Oh, this is what you are talking. I say I have problems. Not my problem. God, my vision. What do I do to myself? Oh, so God. I'm hungry. There's no bank. There's no money in my bank account to pay the rent at the end of the month. I'm not sure I'm going to get exclusion school for my sons of God. Sons of God. God, sons of God. Need. And the key life partner up here. And walk and why are we only sons of God? Remember the pastor, hello. My sons of God, every Sunday, sons of God, sons of God, sons of God. And God won't show you a bit, but I didn't tell you, let's say, because I'm fine. I just read your mail. You know, God talks to me. God talks to me. Amen. That kind of mentality will not help you. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know by revelation. By revelation. That I pray the Father give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in order that you may know. Oh my God, hallelujah, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him and we shall see him as he is. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. It is that appearing we are waiting for. Not appearing us. Jesus knew that when the time came, what he is will appear. And he did. He says, and this was the beginning of miracles. And he manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. Same thing, same pattern. Same pattern. He shall appear. Glory to God in us. Hallelujah. So, going back to 1 Peter. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you who know who you are, who are waiting by the Spirit, not passively, but actively. I like that scripture. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 23. He says, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that is, we have tongues, we baptize the Holy Spirit. He said, we do groan within ourselves. To do what? To wit. The word that's an old English, it means to know, to experience the redemption of our body. But how do we wait? We wait groaning. That's how you wait. Give me Romans 8. Quickly, we'll come back here and close. Romans 8, 23. 23. Because of time. Not only they, but we ourselves. If you are part of the ourselves, let me see your hand. I'm one of them. Go put your hand up. Put your hand down. Because some desires, these things, you know, people just think just goes over our head. How many people here have the first fruits of the Spirit? Everybody looking for us, okay. I wonder. Put your hand down. How many people here have the first fruits of the Spirit? Put the hand up straight if you are 100% sure and you know what you're talking about. Be very careful, it's a test. Put the hand down. How do you know you have the first fruits of the Spirit? Because I can pray in tongues. Because I can pray in a language I never learned. I have a supernatural experience that nobody can take from me. Hallelujah. So we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves grown where? Within ourselves. Waiting for the adoption to wit. That is to know the redemption of our body. You know, I am groaning so that the life that is in the Spirit will enter the body. Then it will appear and everybody will see it. I got another news for us. It's a corollary from that statement. No groaning, no manifestation. I don't believe in groaning. You just signed off. You know why? Travail is the key, is the channel by which the life of God is made manifest in the flesh. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again. See, there are two travails. There's first of all travail to get you born again. Then there's a second travail now to get the Christ to be formed in you. So it now is in your soul and in your body, then it appears. No travail, no manifestation of sons of God. Take it to the bank. Nobody said amen. Pastor Lubi did. I didn't write the Bible, folks. These things were written long before I was born. Are you listening to me? No travail, yeah. Without travail, Christ can't be formed in you. See, there are three levels of Christianity. Christ is born in you. Christ is formed in you. Then Christ is glorified in you. You will never get the glorification without the forming. And you will not get the forming without the groaning. The reason why majority of the church today is in a little child babyhood stage is because they don't pray, and they don't pray in the Spirit with travail, and it is when you travail that Christ is formed in you. So they stay as little children and don't grow beyond that stage. Am I talking to anybody here? Travail. 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 Hallelujah. So we wait. So it does not yet appear. Let's go back to 1 Peter. I got to close. 1 Peter chapter 5. Am I helping anybody? And when the chief shepherd shall appear. I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor. He says it's going to appear any day now. When in the time and in the season. You shall receive a crown of glory. I'm going to paraphrase it. I know it says faded not away, that's permanent.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's permanent. I like that. God is fair, Pastor Boyga. After the years of training and suffering, then God will now pamper. He says, the Spirit of God and glory will rest upon. Did you notice? I got to close. But I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying the word. Amen. Amen. Did you notice that Jesus had that spirit without measure 24/7? Let me just throw one or two examples out to you. Do you remember when he was sleeping? Don't you never say, just no man soon. You know, Jesus too sleeps. He used to sleep. It's just like us. Temple everywhere. You know, just Jesus wasn't spooky. Oh. He wasn't in cloud nine all the time, and you know, he wasn't floating around like an angel. It's normal, down to earth. Are you listening to me? He was tired, he was hungry, you know, he was every physical thing, limitation that we feel, he felt it. The only difference is that he had the anointing without measure. The man was sleeping in the boat. Let's go to the other side. Been preaching since got up maybe 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning. Man prayed, came down, preached the message of so at the word, healed Jairus' daughter, healed this one. The man is tired. Praise the Lord. He's tired. He's sleeping. There is a storm orchestrated by Satan. Incidentally, the hurricane in America. Tonton will say, it says the devil. He says there was a storm by reason. All these terrible weather effects, they are not of God. They are a consequence of man's sin and, you know, mishandling of the planet. Are you listening to me? How do I know that? I'm going to finish this story and you will know. So man is sleeping. So they wake him up. He said there was already water in the boat, like this Hurricane Irma. You know, it was depositing water. The boat was actually sinking. They were so afraid. They had wake up. Carest all that we perish. The boat is about to capsize. Jesus wakes up. He didn't watch this. He didn't go and fast. He didn't quickly let me draw life. Let me quickly read my Bible. Let me quickly confess the word. You should be like that. It's not an emergency. You start looking for fasting and prayer and the Bible and all of that. If it's not inside at that time, you're done. Everything was alright. He didn't even pray. The first thing he said, where is your faith? He was angry with them because he had given them the word. Let us go to the other side. We'll always get you to the other side. You didn't get it. When God gives you a word, do you understand? That's what Gabriel told Mary. He said, no word from God shall be void of power. Let us go to the other side. We'll always get you to the other side. Am I talking to anybody here? That's why he was angry with them. Then the Bible says he spoke to the storm and he rebuked the wind. Peace, be still. No prayer. No groaning. No tongues at that time. Of course, he did that in the background. The Bible says, and immediately there was a great a crown of glory. Permanent. It's even on you when you are sleeping. Turn to him and say, that's where we're going, folks. Now, will God rebuke himself? So if he rebuked the sea and the storm, and there was a great calm, who was behind it? For this cause was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the storm, the sea, was of the devil. Hurricane Emma is from the devil. Why aren't people praying? I told you the other day, I tried to pray about it. It's about all the signs of the end time. And it's a consequence of man's sin. Now, Christians who are on ground in that place can pray. Do you understand? It would destroy 5 houses around. The devil house would be okay. And there are reports like that on CNN. Every house, all the houses around will be destroyed. There will be one house, nothing will touch it. And they'll say, this is unusual. God is at work. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. There was a particular island, I forgot, somewhere in the Bahamas. You know, we were watching it on television yesterday. Pastor Boyega and myself, and they said, St. Kitts, for example, it didn't go there. Then there was actually another one. They said that it was coming. He said, suddenly there was a wind of about 35 miles per hour. It just shifted it. It just deflected the trajectory so that that particular area was. I said, some brethren, I pray. Take this thing out of your dictionary. It's just natural. Replace it with this. It's just the devil. I'm not talking about having a demon. I'm not talking about being demon possessed. I'm not going there. It's because Satan is working on the planet. God, I didn't want to go this far. Let me tell you something. Do you understand? Satan was the anointed cherub that covered it. He was in charge of the planet. This long before Adam was ever created. He walked in Eden, the garden of God. Ezekiel 28, you can check me out. Are you listening to me? So there was an Eden before the second Eden. It's not the same Eden. To cut a long story short, he rebelled against God. When you rebel against God, you cut the source of your power. So, Satan had control of the earth, but he did not have the power to sustain it. His power, something was drastically reduced. That's what made the earth become without form and void. So, God now comes and repairs everything. Light be. Like one man of God was saying recently, and I like that. He said, he did not say he made the lights. He just said light be. So the lights had already been made. He just removed the bad atmosphere that was blocking the light so they could now see it. You know, I did physics. That sun and the moon were not made 6,000 years ago. They were made billions of years ago. They'd always been there. But when they became without form and void, there was a chaotic situation on the earth that blocked it out. So when God said, light be, in other words, in the Hebrew, it says, lights appear. Watch this. There are two light bees. The first one was, let there be light. Boom! At the beginning of creation. Then 4 days later, when he now made the sun and sun, said, let there be lights in the firmament. They were already there. He says, let them appear. Are you listening to me? So when you see geographic weather patterns, geological things, tectonic shifts of the earth's crust, you know, earthquakes, tsunamis, is a result of a serpent who is doing what is more than his hand can handle. You know the bad thing? God repairs everything. Makes it beautiful and all good. Gives it to Adam. This is where we have the problem. The Adam takes it and gives it back to the devil. That's why you're having what you're having. Good news. He now sent the word, and the word became flesh. And the word that has become flesh now has been sent to destroy the works of the devil. So anywhere we are on the earth where we say satanic distortion, we have the authority and the power to put it back right. Is it clear? That's why you're left here on earth, and God didn't take you to heaven when you got born again. So you can straighten out what Satan doesn't have the wisdom and the power to handle. Let's stand up. Stand to your feet. Now Satan has wisdom and he does have power, but he does not have all wisdom and he does not have all power. He has limitations. He's handling a complex planet that he could handle before, but lost. Because he's no longer connected with the Creator. That's why he's insanely jealous of man. We are the ones God put now in charge of the planet. The heavens, even the heavens, belong to the Lord. But the earth has he given to the sons of men. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth. I am 100% certain of what I'm saying, even though I can't prove it, and time will prove me right to the glory of God. Like Paul said in one place, he said, God didn't tell me this, but I believe I have the Spirit of God. If we have enough Christian's brain, one billion of us who pray properly with life and grow, there are a lot of things we will correct on the planet. It doesn't mean there won't be problems, but we will be able to keep things on an even keel. Because, you know, we ourselves are also being kicked around by the same devil. And then the whole thing, you know, tomorrow it will be earthquake, tomorrow it will be this. And because the sin is increasing, iniquity is abounding, you know, the connection to God is getting farther and farther, the power level is dropping, the whole planet's. Is it clear? That's why you need to learn how to pray. That's why you have to grow up spiritually. The more of us that do it, the better we'll be able to handle things. It doesn't mean there won't be problems, because the only time when there will stop problems is when Satan is bound in the bottomless pit, which will not happen at the millennial reign. But in between now and then, we can interfere a lot of the time and set things right like Jesus did. Peace be still. Over the years, praying for services, we pray about the weather all the time. I know what happens when something happens and I come and don't pray. It never fails. Everything starts going. And once I pray, it gets corrected. You can dominate your circumstances. You can dominate the weather around you. My wife knows this. Anytime we're going abroad and everything, you know, I go and check the weather pattern. I say, when I get there, it's going to be fine. And it's always fine. When we leave, the weather goes back. Amen. 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 But that hasn't happened 5 times. It hasn't happened 10 times. It hasn't happened 20 times. I'm talking about hundreds of times. So statistic, I can give you a statistic. He says, it's no question of chance or anything like that. Of course you pray. You know, pray. If you know, when we're in the aeroplane and they say there's turbulence, I tell my wife, chill, it'll be okay. The turbulence, I say, we exist. Now, after a few minutes, just stabilize. It's available, folks. It's what you want to do about it. Don't let Satan just kick us all over the whole place, kill us, you know, run riot over the whole planet. He's dealing with problems he doesn't have the power to handle. You have to understand that. He used to. Because it was, it say, you are the anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so. But when they rebelled against his power source, then we have all these problems that we're having now. So when we understand it, we can deal with it. Let's talk to God. Tell God, I want to grow. I want to become an elder. I want to be a partaker of his sufferings. I want the crown of glory that doesn't fade away. I want to feed God's heritage with wisdom and understanding. I want to be an example unto the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, I want a crown of glory that doesn't fade away. It's available to all of us. It's not just for Peter, it's not just for Paul. It's available to every Christian. It's a part of our inheritance. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Start believing it. Start knowing it by revelation. Start working at it. And you begin to get little victories in your life, in your circumstances, and your confidence will start to grow. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind, in pure realize thyself. This fight in me the reverence pray. In deeper reverence pray.
Dear Lord and Father of mankind again. It's a prayer. Souls, the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess
the beauty of thy peace.
What a hymn!
The beauty of thy peace.
Through the heat of our desire.
Breathe through the heat of our desire.
Thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb. Let flesh retire. Speak, hallelujah, through.
Oh,
Raise your other one to God.
Let's send freedom.
What a prayer.
Let's return to the earthquake, wind, and fire. All still, small voice of calm.
Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Ah, Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me of the vital importance of growing to become an elder so that I'll be a witness of your sufferings, partaker thereof, and a partaker of the glory that is about to be revealed, receiving a crown of glory that will not fade away. Oh my Father, have mercy on me. Forgive my foolish ways. Reclothe me in my rightful mind. Let sense be dumb. Let flesh retire. Oh my God, speak to me through the earthquake, the wind, and the fire. Let your still small voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, let it pierce through. Let it pierce through the noise of my mind, the noise of my flesh, so I will hear what you are saying. I will see what you are seeing, and I will do what you are doing, like the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, I hunger and I thirst after righteousness. I hunger and I thirst for your glory. Like David of old, I thirst for your glory like one that is in a dry and a thirsty land. I want to see your glory in this lifetime. In Jesus' name. Nikatoloma shakala. Zifrika kaklama poloma. Nikatufrika. Toloma shaki to fridis zefri nombrakatolo zefri nengala nombrakatuskufri zufrike kramatolo lambrike tusko lambrika sangetoya yakato nombrakatolo matolo mashuke zefri nombrakramatolo mashinga nombrakramatolo mutufri fushi zufri de kram tolo matufri de skar zufri de kramatolo tolo matantoske fre zefri lungatorski fridolos nefrideles Tufri de garas, jiki tufres, nongar dolos, tufrines, jiki tufres, ningi tulo mastofres, zufri ningaras, jiki tufrines, tufrinengiras turas, neatos kafrines, look tus kafrinegar, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's give a little super clap offering.